watch the show can send your questions in. Any nasty comments will be highlighted and read twice on air, but can find us today on the radio across the Hail Varsity Radio Network and, of course, on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, and at Greg Smith HV. Greg, there's a giant light blaring at us right now.
There really is.
We need to fire up some Oakleys or something here to look look cool. How are you, man?
I am well, man. How are you? I'm glad that you elected to keep this show indoors today.
You know, I wore sleeves, and I went with the sleeves today. So if you're going to go with the sleeves, you might as well go indoor if you're going to go soft. Yeah. Scott Frost talking about his class, the numbers there as we came in, and that number's about 150, 160 is where they're at now. 150 is about the number to get to. We'll spend plenty of time here on the class as it's official for 2019. We'll get caught up with Jacob Padilla, get his take on some of the walk-ons. Husker Hoops also is tipping off here against Maryland, just at PBA coming up at 6 o'clock. So Jacob Padilla and Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, just came out of the can. That was good. Good timing. We didn't time him, though. I'm just saying he washed his hands. It's okay.
That's great.
He just walked out and waved.
Nothing like I say will top that.
That's like, great. Like it's a Seinfeld episode here. But so Derek's coming up maybe, unless he, you know, during the commercial break, takes a tire iron to me. So we've got a loaded first hour. Next hour, in hour two, Rick Pizzo's coming up, Big Ten Network. Aaron Sorensen going to be with us, and we'll hear plenty from Scott Frost. And, again, can tweet at us, send your questions to Facebook Live with Hail Varsity. Lexi is here, and she is waving. I'm blotting now because of the light here. I'm going to quit whining. Give me a grade, Mr. Greg. What do you think of the class? Just one signee today, and it was Hollywood Houston out of Oklahoma City, big-time wide receiver, another four-star. You look at the Nebraska rankings with recruiting, and the different sites have Nebraska coming in anywhere between 14th and 20th. So that is pretty big time for Nebraska. Overall, you look at 26 high school kids, one grad transfer in Darian Daniels, 23 walk-ons, and Coach Frost loves the makeup of this group.
Yep. Yeah, my overall grade, it's going to sound like I'm being tough on them, but I give them a solid B.
Okay.
And let me explain it.
It's a B because.
It's a B because I think that this is what you can expect from classes from here on out with Scott Frost at the helm, because I think that 14 or maybe even, you know, 12 to 16 range is about where you should expect them to land when it comes to their recruiting classes. It doesn't get to the B-plus category because they missed on adding another elite pass rusher. Also, it's hard to then get to like an A if you don't have any five stars in the class.
Sure,
So we got to allow for a little bit of wiggle room just in case there's some improvement there, which they're very, very may well be moving forward, especially in 2020 with how strong that group looks. But overall, it's a really good class. Like, I think Nebraska addressed a lot of needs that they had. A lot of this was wrapped up in December, but I think a lot of needs that they had. And don't forget that, and people forget this just because this happened in December, Nebraska landed a lot of their top targets during this recruiting cycle, right? Whether you talk about Wandale Robinson, Ty Robinson, Bryce Benhart, Nick Henrich, there's a lot of good Noah Pola-Gates. There are guys in this class that were heavily recruited that Nebraska wanted very badly, and they were able to go out and get them, and I think they'll be impact players here a lot of cases there sooner rather than later.
That's Greg Smith at Greg Smith HV on Twitter, at Schmidt underscore radio on Twitter. Signing day special with Hail Varsity Radio. As we're here in the offices down in the rail yard, you look at Nebraska, Greg, and it is a situation where they are so intent on evaluating right. When you look at Coach Frost, you look at his assistants, you look at the needs, you look at what they inherited, and they had good players coming in, but they are all about kind of finding their fit. They always talk about, well, he's a great kid. That's the first thing that comes out of their mouth, not he's fast, not he has a great catch radius, not this dude can work any left tackle or right tackle there is. It's about the kid's character. And they do such a good job of cultivating and doing that relationship building with the kid and kind of doing their due diligence with what type of player they're bringing in that's going to be really good for the locker room. Yeah, we are getting comments that your voice is low. Let's move that mic a little bit closer. Say hi.
Hi.
It's better now. There we go. There we go.
Sorry, guys.
No, that's fine. So I like what Nebraska's doing here with kind of the character background checks of these players. I mean, Luke McCaffrey's a guy that got mentioned a couple of times mm-hmm. by Frost today, and we talked to Luke back in December. But let's spend a minute here on Hollywood here. What do you like about Hollywood, the wideout from Oklahoma City, as he's another get? And then spend a second or two, if you could, on that pass rush, because Nebraska fans want help off the edge. I know we talked Monday a little bit. Let's expand mm-hmm. further with kind of that right fit Nebraska's looking for at pass rusher.
Yeah, well, first, when it comes to Houston, what you're getting there is speed, right? I think Nebraska had it today on the video that Troy Walters had. It's him running a 10.6 in the 100-meter dash. I've seen 10.71, which isn't much different. I've seen that
these numbers you and I can't hit.
No, we're not hitting that unless you hit fast forward on our tape by a couple of fast forwards at that. Runs in the 4.4 range in the 40-yard dash. The guy that's an explosive athlete. He played wide receiver, obviously, in high school, played special teams as a return man, also a defensive back, and I say that because that always tells me that a wide receiver has a level of toughness when he just doesn't play wide receiver only in high school. Now, that's something that you really like to see, especially as a guy is coming into a physical league like the Big Ten. You want him to be able to hold up to the pounding and all of that. And Nebraska has a need for a wide receiver or multiple wide receivers that can take the top off of a defense. A couple of the things that we said last year a lot about this offense was, man, it would be nice if they had more depth, which is great that they went out and added basically four wide receivers when you include Wandale Robinson. So they addressed the depth issue, but they also addressed the speed with both Nance and Houston coming into the class, which will be a really big deal for this team. Now, to the pass rush question, it was interesting, and it's been a weird thing to watch this unfold because on one hand, Nebraska did get two outside linebackers in this class, right? They got Jamin Graham out of Alabama, who played that weak side defensive end down in Alabama, who will transition out to the outside linebacker, and they also got a name that people are familiar with who got a great laugh when Frost brought him up today as a wild man, and that's Garrett Nelson. Yep. As soon as I say that, you know who
Try
I'm talking
Scott's
about.
Bluff,
right? And he's a guy that I just am fascinated to see how his career plays out. So he'll play that outside linebacker role as well. But even with that being said, you still want to have another one of those guys that played that position in high school that you look at and say, that's an explosive dude off the edge, right? And those guys are probably at this point the hardest thing to find in football. Like, it's really difficult to find those guys. It's why it feels like so many of them go to Georgia and Alabama and Clemson, and there's not a lot of them to go around. And Nebraska continues to look for more and more of those guys. They didn't get Lloyd Summerall in the early period. You didn't get Dylan Jordan. Stephen Parker went to Kansas in a kind of an inexplicable move. So you're still wanting a little bit there. And that's really, I would say, the only miss off the top of my head mm-hmm. That Nebraska had in this class. Like, I don't think they missed very much because even at offensive line, where maybe they would have liked to bring one more in, but they still got a handful of guys coming in. Defensive back, they addressed that. Wide receiver, we talked about. It's really all about that pass rush, and that's something that Nebraska will have to continue to figure a way around once we get to the fall and they get on the football field.
Can keep sending your questions in to Hail Varsity on the Facebook page. We'll get to them. Got a few of them we'll grab here. That's Greg Smith, Chris Schmidt, and Jacob Padilla. Derek Peterson coming up here this first hour. And Facebook Live is going till 5 o'clock tonight. So keep it checked in and can find us on Twitter. I'm seeing spots now. keep it checked in on Twitter at Greg Smith HV at Schmidt underscore radio. So I need to ask you here about Desmond Bland. Desmond okay. Bland, the offensive tackle, the JUCO out of Arizona Western. Also, zero defensive tackles in this class. You obviously got Darian Daniels as the grad transfer. Yep. That's huge. but no recruited defensive tackles.
So I'll start with the defensive tackle situation. We'll see where Ethan Piper ends up. He could be a guy that plays at defensive tackle, but he also could be a guy that plays some defensive end. I actually think, or even offensive line, I happen to think that he should play defensive end. I think that he's really quick off of the end and could also set the edge in run situations as well. I think he's a heck of a player and a really good athlete. If you've seen the video floating around of him dunking, he's a really good athlete. So look out for him in the future. And then as far as Desmond Bland, that situation is kind of up in the air. He's been committed since, I believe, May to Nebraska when he came out for an unofficial visit.
And there was the Florida State flirtation.
Yeah, there was the Florida State thing. There was a Texas thing. But the thing to note there is that neither of those visits happened. Like, he didn't take any of those visits. He didn't take an official visit anywhere because he committed to Nebraska after an unofficial. So he never took those official visits. I think it really, to me, sounds like Nebraska or a bust, and it depends on if he gets his grade situation right and is eligible to enroll in Nebraska, he'll end up being a take for Nebraska. If not, then we won't see him, maybe not in college football. But Nebraska will go through the summer, I think, with him on the commit list to see if he can end up making it, because technically he could come in during the summer. He would enroll then anyway, so you could then end up taking him later in the cycle if he gets his grades in order.
What's the outlook here on Bland? You just gave me a timeline. Is Nebraska's going to still take him? But as far as a fit on the offensive line, where could he be a shot in the arm? Is it depth, or are they looking at if he can get in and get it done? Can they put him in, and could he win a starting spot?
I think he can win a starting spot. I think absolutely. And I think it would be –
you bring him in to do that, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I think it would be – and I think it would be at the center position. I think that there was a lot of talk before kind of all of the academic questions happened about him coming in and playing center, because you felt comfortable with the guard play that you had coming back in the program. And actually, Scott Frost was asked about the center position today in the press conference, and his answer I thought revealed a lot about essentially it's a wide-open competition. We'll have guys like Cam Jurgens and Farniak and others that'll be in the mix, but then we'll also have some guards maybe move over and maybe they try their hand at snapping and see how it goes. To me, that's going to be a really big storyline as we get into spring ball about who exactly is going to be in the mix to play center, and then who's going to be able to emerge and handle that. Because it's one thing, it's great to have your quarterback and you've got your future quarterback. You need someone to snap on the ball. So we'll see how that goes.
No, and Nebraska needs kind of that tough dude center, that game changer at center. You look at all the programs, look how good Ohio State's been at that spot. Look at Alabama. Clemson, I mean, your college football playoff teams have had guys that have won the Remington or been there towards the end. You want that difference maker at center. And I like the way that Nebraska's offensive line's set up. I like the depth that Coach Austin's building. I really like where the lines of scrimmages are going with offense and defense to be bigger, stronger, faster. Frost spent time, and we'll hear from Coach Frost coming up here next hour. From the press conference, he loves what he's watching. He loves what Duvall's doing, and man, where they're at now compared to where they were at last season's whole different world.
Yeah, you got the sense today from the things that he said and just kind of how excited he seemed to be about getting it back going again, and the reports that he's getting from the weight room that he is really excited about what's happening. And I think you're dead on with the lines of scrimmage comment, because I think that they're building depth there. And there's a lot of quality players in the mix, either both on the offensive line and on the defensive line moving forward. But also, I have, and I've said this to you before, I have so much confidence in Greg Austin after seeing what he did last year. I thought what he did last year was such an underrated thing, and how he got that offensive line to come along. I can't wait to see the work that he can do moving forward with multiple years with guys.
It's Greg Smith, recruiting analyst, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV. We'll run down Jacob Padilla as he is shaking his head right now with all that snow. Okay, who are you most excited about in this class? That from Keith.
It feels like a cop out, but I'm gonna
say it.
I gotta go Wandale Robinson.
That's
like
fine.
It's hard to not say that. Considering one, I think he's the most exciting player in the class. Mm-hmm. Two, he's already here and getting glowing reviews from what's been happening in the weight room. And I think that the plan all along, since the second he committed, was for him to play right away
and multiple spots.
Yeah, and multiple spots and be a big part of this offense going forward. I think it's him.
Five guys that thrive, walk on or scholarship, five guys that'll have good careers in Lincoln.
And so I'll give you Wandale from the beginning. Nick Henrich, I think, has star written all over him. Ty Robinson at defensive end. Bryce Benhart on the offensive line. I think Bryce Benhart is can't miss. Like I hesitate to say that, but I love what he can do. And another guy, I'll give you a little bit off the radar guy, and say Miles Farmer.
Okay.
Because I think he's a little bit of a throwback dude in that secondary. He's mean on the back end. Big time athlete coming from down south as well. I think he'll have a really good career here.
That is Greg Schmidt. Chris Schmidt will continue on signing day 2019 part 2. As we'll get caught up with Jacob Padilla. Greg, thanks for coming by, man.
Hey, thanks for having
me. Appreciate you doing. Log on to HaleVarsity.com for all the recruiting needs with Greg Smith at Greg Smith HV. A quick timeout, back with more after this, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Well, you don't become a captain of a team unless you're a good teammate, and we want the kids that are good teammates. I think he was anxious to play with his brother for a year. His brother kept hinting at it, and we kept telling him we couldn't do anything until the season was over and if he put his name in the transfer portal. And after he did, honestly, it happened really fast, and this is where he wanted to be. So we were glad to add a piece on our defensive line. I think he's going to help us.
Scott Frost on Darian Daniels, the one grad transfer Nebraska got. A big spot at defensive tackle with Darian to kind of push along Damian Daniels. Great to have you back. Signing day 2019, part 2. Chris Schmidt, Jacob Padilla is in. I can move over if you want to put your laptop up. We're on Facebook Live. Can log on and check that out. Hale Varsity and Facebook, and watch us, and we're getting streamed here, and I hope the volume's okay now. Thanks for the heads up on that. Can send your questions and comments and insults towards me, if you like, to our friends here at Hale Varsity on Facebook. We'll get those in, and Derek Peterson's in the on-deck circle coming up at 4:40. We'll do a little football recruiting and basketball combo here in Nebraska, Maryland, getting ready. Usually we're down in the public market ahead for Real Red Tip-Off. We are audibling. We're upstairs here in the Hale Varsity offices, just inside the rail yard. Going to be a big ball game tonight for Nebraska basketball. Let's talk recruiting, though, as Coach Frost, very happy, Jacob, and thanks for coming by at Jacob Padilla _ is where you follow him on Twitter. Five linebackers, four DBs, four on the defensive line, four offensive line, three backs, three wideouts, two athletes, one quarterback, a tight end. And that's nice. But let's spend some time with the walk-ons. You do a great job of covering high school athletes. I love watching kids in the metro and when kids from other parts of the state come to town. Really enjoy doing ball games, seeing the great athletes around the state of Nebraska. Jacob, 23 Nebraska kids. Well, not all Nebraska kids, but mostly Nebraska kids are joining this class. What is it to you that kind of makes an impact with this class? If you could characterize the kids, broad brush them, what type of groups Nebraska and Frost bringing in here for 19?
Well, and that list I don't think even includes Josh Wegner, the center from Iowa Western.
Right,
so that's
the transfer.
That's a 24, mm-hmm. I think we're up to at least. There might be one or two more out there as well. I mean, heck, there are a couple guys on that list that's like, oh, when did that kid commit?
Right,
so
right.
They've been kind of moving. The last few guys have kind of committed in silence and haven't really made it public, but it's a really good haul for these guys. I've seen a few of these guys play, whether basketball, football, whatever it is. A couple of the guys that I really like, Austin Jablonski.
Yeah, Pius.
I saw him, obviously he played quarterback for Pius. Man, He was great, a great quarterback. Like, you throw him back. He made some special throws against Lincoln Southeast in that game. Pressure in his face. Made some plays with his feet, obviously. And I've seen him play basketball multiple times. And kid is just tough. I think he's just good at sports. No matter what you put in front of him, I think he's going to go out and do well with it. So you love getting that kind of kid in the class. Just he's going to help you in practice. He's going to make everybody work harder that he goes up against. Can fill in a couple different spots depending on where he ends up playing at Nebraska. Obviously, tight end is kind of, I think, where they're looking at him now. And I think that's a good spot with his frame and athleticism. But I think a kid like that is a great one to get. Then Wegner, I think, is the probably the one that has a chance to make the most immediate impact. I know Frost mentioned today a couple of guys that are at that center battle, and obviously Wegner isn't here yet, so he's not going to be mentioned in that at this point, just because it sounds like he hasn't he's not on the list yet, so he hasn't paid his deposit or whatever it is. But that's another guy that'll be in that mix and will have a chance to get in the two deep, if nothing else, at that position. And then a couple other guys, Luke Reimer, we talked about him back in the previous.
We had a chance to talk to Luke. Yeah, and he's a nice athlete, isn't he?
Yeah, and guy that they lured away from South Dakota State. And then Caden McCormick, one of the other guys that I mentioned from Lincoln Southwest, a linebacker, mentioned at the previous signing day. Is kid a good athlete, goes hard. He's got just the right amount of crazy to play linebacker, I think.
Mm-hmm. Kid that I think, I mean, I saw Lincoln High quite a bit over their run and their success, and 10 links signing letters of intent to different places, which is really cool. Cam Kleinschmidt, man, he is a guy that is kind of one of those missiles that came up in a Rover spot that I love how physical and kind of fluid he is. I like what Frost is doing. Your practices are going to be just iron sharpening iron Monday through Thursday to get you ready for Saturday. You're going to have competition, walk on to scholarship, and it doesn't matter. Everyone's going to push one another. That is really nice for Nebraska, kind of getting back to the Nebraska way. Touch on some of the Omaha, the Metro kids. John Bullock at linebacker, give me a thought on him, what he can do. You got User, the defensive lineman, and Cooper Jewett is Elkhorn South product as well.
Yeah, Jewett's one of those ones that I was like, wait, what? When did he commit?
Yeah.
I think he was kind of a utility guy for Elkhorn South. Stepped in and played a lot more. Was a featured piece without Moses Bryant this past year for the Storm. And John Bullock, he's one of my Creighton Prep guys. Go Junior Jays. Kid just tackles everything. Like, he's one of those kids that just has great football instincts and the speed and athleticism to act on those instincts. And he's just always around the ball. I think he's a little undersized. I think they might be looking at more as safety. Mm-hmm. That's probably where he's going to end up just based on his size. But so I think it's just another good football player to throw into the mix and see what happens. And then Huser, I haven't didn't really see them play this last year, so I don't know as much about him.
You have a bunch of kids from the Kearney and Grand Island area as well. Central Nebraska is really, really talented. You have Braden Miller, the quarterback. It's nice. Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Jacob Herbeck is one of the guys.
Talking about Herbeck.
Yeah. I haven't seen him actually play football, but I've seen him play basketball. And, like, kid just looks apart, like, walking off the bus. Like, that's a dude. Kind of compare him to Ryan Schomer from Norfolk last year.
Okay.
Kind of just big frame, really good physical tools to work with. Because you look at the dude, and he's got broad shoulders, strong frame. He's tall. I think he's a piece that I don't know how long down the line, but he'll have a chance to get in the mix and just be someone that you're like, oh, that kid could be interesting. And Schomer, I think, is kind of the same way, just with the physical tools he has.
Kid I really liked watching at Lincoln East was Braden Sellin. Guy had 94 tackles as a senior. He was everywhere. Tough runner as well. Could catch the football. I know as a linebacker, that Spartan defense was fierce, and it kind of started with Chris Walker. East has been a really nice program in the city for a number of years with Coach Gingery, but Sellin's nice. And I mean, he's a surprise. Not that he got asked to walk on because he's a really good player, but it's not a name I heard about.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and apparently he committed like a week or two ago, a little bit ago, and just never told anybody outside. So he's another one. Yeah, like Jewett, he's another one those guys like, oh, hey, what did he get on this list? But he's got a twin brother, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I know those guys were on basically every visit list, so I know they showed a lot of interest, and Nebraska showed a lot of interest in them all season long. So I haven't seen them play, but it's obviously someone that Nebraska wanted to be part of the program.
Yep, and you're back to Jablonski with what Coach Carney's got going at Pius, another strong program that has kids ready to play and step up at that next level. Jacob Adila, Chris Schmidt, signing day 2019 with Hail Varsity. We're on Facebook Live. Can send your questions in to Hail Varsity on Facebook. We'll stream till 5 o'clock. And Jacob Adila is with us now. And you have Derek Peterson coming up shortly. Get his thoughts. Jacob, we've got a couple of minutes here, about 3.5 minutes or so. First, give me five guys you're excited, walk-on or scholarship. Your five guys you're excited about for this 19 class. Second part of this is, do you have any prediction, any grasp on what happens with Nebraska and Maryland tonight? Start with football.
Yeah, I don't think my list is going to be any different than anybody else's. It's kind of that top five, six are kind of the same, I think, for most people.
I'm excited about Pola Gates.
Just
the type of athlete and hybrid you're going to get.
Yeah, he's in there. Nick Henrich, obviously. Wandale Robinson, I think, will make everybody's list. Ty Robinson on the defensive line there, just prototype for what you need in this defense. Who else? You said Pola Gates. Mm-hmm. I
like Garrett Nelson.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of the attitude guy.
Well, would Frost say, call him a wild man. And that's basically the same kind of description you hear from anybody that talks about Garrett Nelson. And so I think he is going to be fun to have in the program, fun guy to watch develop just because of how hard he plays. And those are the kind of guys that always kind of become fan favorites and really attract attention from the fans, and people just kind of fall in the program. It's like, yeah, that kid really wants it. He's going to give everything he's got.
How's Nebraska basketball? Let's shift gears. How's their mind space right now going in? They've lost five in a row. Maryland's not good on the road. Illinois has gotten hot all of a sudden, as has Indiana. We'll talk with Pizzo about what's going on with Michigan State coming up. But has Nebraska got a shot tonight?
I think they've got a shot in a lot of these games if they can figure out how to get things turned around. That hasn't been the case yet. And a lot of the talks about confidence and shot selection and not trying to do too much. And we've heard that now, I think, three games in a row. And nothing
3 weeks.
Nothing has really changed. So it's like a lot of these, like Michigan, even Spartans struggling as they are now, you think, well, that's probably out of their reach. But a lot of these other games are like, well, if they could get things turned around, they have a chance to compete. It's just hard to know if they're going to be able to. I mean, but think about this Maryland game. They almost beat them last time. And
sure, could have, would have.
In that game, Copeland wasn't a big factor. At 8 points, they only took 4 shots. And I know coming off there, it's like, oh, hey, we need to get this guy more involved. That was kind of the talk after that. So it's like, yeah, Copeland wasn't a big factor, and you still almost beat him last time. So you think, well, now he's not a factor at all. But I know Tanner Borchardt had 8 points off the bench in that game. Coming off that big game he had last time, you think maybe he could really help you out with those bigs inside. Because last time, they didn't really slow down any of Maryland's big three. Jalen Smith obviously had the kind of game-winning shot. Bruno Fernando, 18 and 17, but he also forced 6 turnovers. So And then Anthony Cowan got off and hit some big shots as well. So I think you need to slow down at least one of those big three. And if you can do that and make a few shots, obviously, is the kind of the prerequisite here. But I think we'll have a shot to compete if they can do that.
Jacob Adila, HailVarsity.com and magazine at @JacobAdila_. Get caught up with him for Nebraska basketball. Signing day 2019. And, Jacob, thanks for coming by, man.
That's awesome.
Derek Peterson's on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Derek Peterson. Dr. Petey is in. Signing day 2019. You can find us Facebook Live on Hail Varsity. Check that out. Send us some more of the questions. We've got a Darian Chase question. We'll get to a Brant Banks question as well, and keep more of the questions coming. Many thanks to Greg Smith and Jacob Padilla. They were part of this first hour. Aaron Sorensen's coming up. Rick Pizzo's in the 5 o'clock hour, and you'll hear from Coach Frost around 5:40. Thoughts on today's signing day at Dr. Petey HV is where you find Derek on Twitter. We have the Battle of the Do, and you can vote Team Schmidt or Team Dr. Petey with who's got the best hair today. I always give each other smack about that.
Mine is a little loose today.
It's all right. Looks, I'm trying to focus on it, but I can't.
I'm trying to grow it out before the wedding, so I was told that I don't have the patience to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay.
I'm going to do something
challenge
weird.
Challenge accepted.
And do that.
I never have it close enough.
You're fine. You're fine.
I'm trying to grow my hair out, long story short. Let's talk Husker football.
Are we talking, like, ponytail?
Just long and see what it looks like. Like, it gets really curly when it gets long.
Ah,
And so the missus wants to know what that would look like.
That's fine.
Like, super
That's
long.
Fine. Who are you excited about with the class?
The class?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about the class.
No,
I think they
who,
got.
Though?
I think.
Who?
Yeah,
Give
no,
me a
no, no.
Minutes.
I know. I think they got. I think they filled a lot of needs. Outside linebacker, that pass rusher is still a little bit kind of up in the air. But I'm of the, I guess, the minority right now that thinks that Caleb Tanner is going to be that answer sooner rather
totally
than later.
Totally think he could be. Right?
I like Wandale Robinson. Greg Smith and I were actually talking about this before we walked up here. Like, you know, I wrote a story a couple weeks ago on hillvarsity.com. He looks like Rondale Moore. He could be the next Rondale Moore. And there was a bunch of people like, oh, don't put those expectations on him.
Work out together. It's okay.
Well, I wrote in the beginning of that story in the lead graph, I put, this is not hyperbole. This is not me just trying to hype someone just for the sake of hype. This is when you look at the two kids, they look similar from a physical profile standpoint. You look at their film, and they're used the same way. They make the same cuts. They make the same kinds of reads. They see the field a similar way. And then Rondale was in a Jeff Brohm offense, and Brohm is an offensive wizard. Wandale is going to be in Scott Frost's offense, and we all expect him to be an offensive wizard. And I think that the biggest thing with Wandale Robinson is he does not have to come in and be Rondale Moore right away, because they have pieces around him that can pick up some. Like, he's not going to have 1,400 receiving yards in his freshman season. That's what J.D. Spielman is here for. That's what you hope somebody like Javon McQuitty is there to kind of help bring along some of the production that you lose from Stanley Morgan. And in the backfield, you've got Maurice Washington. I almost blanked on his name. You've got Maurice Washington, and you've got Dedrick Mills and Ramir Johnson and some of the new kids that are coming in. He doesn't have to be Rondale Moore right away.
Didn't have to be great right away.
He doesn't.
Is what you're saying.
But he can be. And I think the fact that you have him in that kind of situation, I think that boosts the ceiling even higher. So I'm really excited for him. I'm really excited for the receivers that they got. Darian Chase, Jamie Nance, Damarian Houston. They're all speed guys. I think Chris Hickman has the potential to grow into that kind of down the field, take the top off receiving threat that they were looking for, that maybe they thought Charles Njoku might be. But I like the skill position players that they added on the offensive side of the ball, because, you know, we can talk about defense all day long, and they need to improve defensively, but if this team wins at the rate that Frost wants them to win, it's going to be done on the offensive side of the football. And what they're building on that side, when you add in a guy like Bryce Benhart, who Greg talked about earlier, it's starting to look the way we're like, ooh, this could get scary when they start getting it to look like that.
No, and that's it. I mean, they're going to win with some offense. They're going to be better defensively. They'll force the turnovers. They have an identity on offense, and they have an identity on defense. Their job's just to get bigger, stronger, faster, mm-hmm. thicker, better, tougher in the trenches. And that's what they're doing now, and Coach Frost was, I would say, pleased with their attitude and effort and the direction they're going in year two of the winter conditioning. I mean, it's going to take a while to get caught up, but with this new class and with all the early enrollees, I mean, they're not behind. They're even, or maybe, dare I say, ahead of where maybe he wants them to be based on some of the kids they brought in. Talk to me about your two Oklahoma kids. You know Oklahoma high school football. You know the region. You grew up there. And you have Hollywood coming in, Hollywood Houston. And, of course, your story on Jamie Nance. Hold on a minute. Shameless. By Derek Peterson. Great recruiting issue. Get it. HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. You have both the Oklahoma kids, the wideouts. And what can each bring to the party?
Speed. I think the – you know, I mentioned earlier on Twitter that I think they were a little under-recruited, a little underrated maybe. It's hard for – I was told it's just hard for Oklahoma-born receivers to get
But Texas
attention.
Was in on Houston.
Texas was in on Houston, but if you notice a lot – both Nance and – I mean, Nance and Houston, their recruitment's picked up late.
Hmm?
And Houston specifically, his recruitment picked up late. And Nance was a guy that didn't have a ton of offers until he went to a camp and outperformed a bunch of five-star guys, and then all of a sudden he had a ton of offers. These are kids that are maybe a little overlooked because for whatever reason they didn't have an Oklahoma State offer. I don't know why Oklahoma State continues to let in-state talent get out. But Oklahoma signed three five-star wide receivers. And so when the big school in the state is not looking at the guys, everybody outside just says, oh, well, we're not going to look at them either. But I think these two kids are very, very talented, and I think 3 years from now you're going to look at some of the schools in the South that looked at that let these kids leave and be like, oh, man, we missed on that one. Because Nance is maybe the fastest in the state, maybe one of the fastest mm-hmm. in the state, and Houston is right there with him. I mean, these guys are legitimate speedsters that they have that they're bringing in, and they both bring in size, and they both bring in frames that you can add a little bit of weight to get them where you're comfortable sending them over the middle, taking some shots, but they're not a Stanley Morgan replacement. I don't think either of these guys are a Stanley Morgan replacement in terms of the way that he was used offensively, but I think both guys have a really high ceiling.
Five guys that thrive. We got about 2 minutes here. We'll get to the questions on the other side in a moment. Keep your questions coming. About 10 minutes left. Hail Varsity is where you can go on Facebook. We're Facebook Living Hour 1 of the show, so about 10 minutes left. Real quick, give me five that thrive. On the other side, we'll flip it around and talk hoops to end this first hour.
Yeah. Breon Dixon did not disappear. He's still around.
Okay. So there's your answer.
Yeah.
He's still there.
He's still around. He's working. Wandale Robinson is one. Nick Henrich is two. Like Greg said, I think he's got the potential, working under Barrett Rood, to be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Benhart is just a monster on the offensive line that you need. You just need in the Big Ten. You look at every other offensive line of the elite teams in the Big Ten, and they've got huge dudes up there and big dudes that can move and run, and Benhart fits that mold. Jamie Nance, maybe that's a little bit biased, but I spent some time with him. I think
he's
a really good
fast
kid.
Fast and elusive,
and I think he's
what
got
you need.
I think he's got serious potential in this offense. And then I cheated and have two as the number five. Pola Gates
5A and
Chris
5B.
Hickman.
Okay.
Yeah. Pola Gates or Chris Hickman, whoever you want.
Okay. We'll get a preview of Nebraska and Maryland coming up here with Derek Peterson. Follow him on Twitter at DrPDHV. On Twitter is where you get him. Can log on HailVarsity.com. We'll step away, wind down this first hour. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, is coming up here at 5:05. Aaron Sorensen will join us. And we'll hear from Scott Frost in the second hour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back here, winding down hour one, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Inside the Hail Varsity offices in the rail yard. Second floor here. It looks like one of those snow globes. You turn it upside down and shake. That's what's going on. Folks are trudging towards Pinnacle Bank Arena for Nebraska, Maryland. Does Nebraska find a way, Derek Peterson?
I don't.
You're like,
Jacob had the optimistic approach, so I'll take the more pessimistic approach. I don't want to be pessimistic.
We can say realistic.
There you go. Realistic.
Realistic.
They're favored in this game, aren't they?
I don't think they should Maryland's
be.
Bad on the road.
They are bad on the road, but Nebraska's bad right now.
I can't wait for the student section to light up Bruno.
So Bruno had 18 points and 17 rebounds against them the first time they played, and Jalen Smith did his damage inside mm-hmm. as well. You've lost Isaac Copeland, and Jacob said he didn't provide a whole ton offensively in the Maryland game. But
Nebraska's favored by three.
Yeah, they shouldn't be. What you lose with Copeland is you lose the 15 points offensively, but he is one of their best defenders. He's so good at what he does, and he does a bunch of stuff that doesn't get noticed because he does a bunch of helping and he does a bunch of recovering and hedging off guys, and you've lost him. And now it's Tanner Borchardt, who has to defend without fouling, who still, per 40 minutes, is fouling out.
Mm-hmm.
So you need you need to be able to control those two guys inside, and I don't like Nebraska's chances of being able to do that. Bruno had 6 turnovers the last time. If you can turn Maryland over, you're in good shape.
They're prone to that.
They are, yeah. If you can turn them over and get out in transition and run, you've got a chance to get this crowd into it, because I think the last couple of games here at home, the crowd has just been waiting to actually get into it. There's been moments where it's like, okay, this is the Pinnacle Bank Arena that we remembered from like November, December, but then it's like, they're not quite fully invested, and then they're just waiting for the drop-off, and then the drop-off comes, and it just is bad. Nebraska hasn't shot above 42% from the field in like 7 games. I've got it in front of me. It's five games.
The last game they were awesome in was against Indiana, and Indiana's decided to play with some heart.
Yeah, they shot 33% against Michigan State, 42 against Rutgers, 36 against Ohio State, 28, and then 36 against Illinois. Mm-hmm. You just have to start making more shots. Like, you need and the bench has to be better. Like, everybody has to play better. They have to be more efficient. James Palmer's shooting selection is
what do you get
off.
From James tonight? Distributor or I got to win the game?
Like, I mentioned this the last time they played against Illinois. Like, they've reached a point where James just needs to take 20 shots a game. And I realize I just talked about efficiency, and now I'm like, he just needs to shoot. He's their best scorer. The guys around him need to be more efficient. James is their best scorer, and I think their best chance right now is to just – you need Supernova Palmer games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's their best chance to win some of these games, especially games against teams like Maryland and Minnesota and Purdue, where I'm shocked Nebraska's favorite in this game. Maryland's a good team. Mm-hmm. They're a good basketball team. They've lost 3 of the last 4, but Michigan State has lost 3 in a row, and we're not like Michigan State is a terrible team. I think Nebraska has to just they've got to find confidence. Mm-hmm. Within themselves. They've got to find confidence in their shooting. They've got to see the ball go through a couple times. The crowd needs to be into it. And it's just a lot of ifs.
A lot of ifs. And get to HaleVarsity.com. Full write-up, 3 takeaways with Derek Peterson on HaleVarsity.com. At Dr. PDHV is where you're going to find him on Twitter. Jacob Padilla is already trudging with the Iditarod team towards PBA. Hey, man, thanks for jumping on. Thanks for talking recruiting and hoops. You're awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. We'll be back hour 2. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, on the way with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, tower number 2 on Hail Varsity Radio, signing day 2019, part 2. As they're getting ready for Nebraska, Maryland, we are turned around, staring outside into the cold, the snow, and the folks in red trekking to Pinnacle Bank Arena. Great shot of it from here in our Hail Varsity offices. Many thanks to Derek Peterson, Jacob Padilla, and Mr. Greg Smith in hour 1. We welcome in for a Big Ten buffet. Rick Pizzo with the Big Ten Network at BTN. Rick Pizzo, Mr. Rick, how you been?
Chris, I'm doing fine, but just want to let you know before we get started here, I'm actually here in 2 different broadcasts, so it's a little tough to hear your questions.
That's what I thought.
Somebody else talking about Tobias Harris as we speak.
Can we let's just do something fun on air.
There we go. There's my guy, the dulcet tones of Chris Schmidt and Chris Schmidt only.
There we go. Yeah, sometimes Will is joined us, and Will's very talented. Sometimes Will needs to look at the board a little angrily, and he did that. So we're all okay, man. And thanks for your patience, and thanks for the heads up on that.
Hey, I got to be honest with you, not the first time it's ever happened to me. I was doing a national radio hit a couple of weeks ago, and I was hearing 2 guys asking questions. They were in the same building but in separate rooms, and they were having trouble splitting the audio. You want to talk about having fun? Try to decide whose question you want to answer first.
Yes and no. Okay, I got to ask you a recruiting question, and I know you're wait-and-see dude with recruiting, and I completely respect that. But Nebraska finishing 4th in the Big Ten rankings, just behind Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. Purdue had a really good class. Nebraska putting a bow on it. Coach Frost today in his press conference excited about this group. when you look at Nebraska and year two of Frost, signing day one, signing day two today, what's kind of been your big takeaway with Nebraska and Frost as they moved past the Iowa game to where they're at now? How are you feeling about the program?
Yeah, honestly, Chris, I got to tell you,
in the sense that they clearly had to go and get a quote-unquote franchise quarterback, the face of the program, to run the offense first and foremost. And they did that with Adrian Martinez. Then I think it was very clear to me, it was very clear to everybody that followed this team this year, and really before Scott got there as well, that they needed to be tougher. And now we're seeing that play out, I think, on the recruiting trail. So I think they're taking small steps, but this is not a small step. To be top five, and I understand that one of the reasons Scott was hired was because he would resonate with recruits because of his style, because of his age. But to be top five and be behind only the teams that you're behind, to me, that's ahead of schedule.
It is, and you look at what Nebraska has been about. They've always, and I go back to the Osborne era, Rick, where anywhere between 25 and 17, right? That was the blue yep. chip era. Nebraska was around there, and they'd develop and recruit and find walk-ons, and teams were very violent. They were tough. They were as good as it got for four quarters, and that spirit and that mantra is back with Zach Duvall and the Nebraska strength and conditioning program. When you look at the Big Ten, let's zoom out for a minute. What last recruiting thought, and we'll get to hoops. Your take on Purdue long-term with Brohm, where can they be from a recruiting chase standpoint? And how long does Ohio State kind of keep their arms around their recruits where they've been without an Urban Meyer?
Well, I'll take on Purdue first. And obviously the biggest recruiting job that Purdue did was to keep Jeff Brohm in West Lafayette. But you always need a player that can change the perception of what your program is before other players buy in. And when Rondale Moore chose Purdue over Alabama, that was a huge turning point for this program. And yes, there were the connections. Moore and Jeff Brohm went to the same high school, and without those connections, he probably ends up in Tuscaloosa. But he did not. And now this year, in the early signing period, they landed another four-star wide receiver. They finished strong. Their facilities have now caught up. And if Jeff Brohm is going to say no to Louisville, he's going to say no to pretty much everywhere else. So I think that this is a program and a recruiting system that is going to be on the rise. As for Ohio State, it is intriguing to me that Ryan Day made it clear that he was going to be a different recruiter philosophically than Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer's recruiting area was everywhere, from California to Florida to Pennsylvania, and yes, you get the Ohio kids that you need to get. Ryan Day said from day one he was going to recruit differently. He was going to focus on the state of Ohio first and foremost, then look outside to fill needs. That played out very well this year and most years because Ohio has a very strong high school football background. But will that be able to be sustainable, and how long will Ryan Day continue with that philosophy before perhaps he returns to Urban Meyer's going nationwide? Something that you can only do, by the way, if you win 11, 12 games every year and you go to the college football playoff, which Ohio State had obviously consistently done under Meyer.
I mean, there's so much talent in the state of Ohio that they can completely make a living. And I look at some of Tressel's teams, right? They were getting a lot of Ohio kids, and it's not that Ohio
Heavy
State
Ohio.
Didn't recruit nationally, but they stayed in the state for a lot of it, and it worked out well. But do you like that shift? Do you think that's the right shift, or is it a necessary shift because Day isn't Urban?
Yeah, I think it's more necessary for Ryan Day. I think it's really smart, honestly, because I think when you say that you want to focus on your home state, and you can do that in Ohio, you can do that in Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, California, when you say that, you automatically have a leg up on the teams that you are recruiting against in that state. And the one thing Ryan Day cannot let happen is to let Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, Nebraska, Wisconsin, or other conference contenders come into Ohio and take 4- and 5-star kids. Now, you can't offer every 4- and 5-star kid based on your needs, based on how many guys you have in a particular position, but you can offer most of them. And if you look at what they did this year, they offered most of them. And if you look at the 5-star defensive end that they landed from Olentangy High just outside of Columbus, his two finalists, his three finalists, were Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. And I truly believe that Ryan Day's focus on Ohio was what pushed that specific recruit to stay, even though he knew that Urban Meyer was on his way out.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet, and you can follow Rick on Twitter at BTN Rick Pizzo. Great to have him with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Signing Day 2019, Part 2. Rick, let's talk Nebraska basketball. Big one against Maryland. The Huskers are reeling. We catch up every week, and you're so gracious to do it. But we are a long way from that chat we had pre-Indiana game, aren't we, with Tim Miles in Nebraska?
Yep. There's no doubt about it, and I think that Nebraska is the poster child for misunderstanding the net rankings. Because I've had a lot of Husker fans reach out to me via the Twitter machine, via other areas, to tell me that our recent criticism and debate about whether Nebraska is a tournament-worthy team is unfair because of Isaac Copeland's injury and the fact that they're 33rd in the net rankings today. That 33rd in the net rankings is something that you should not be focused on if you're a Nebraska basketball fan. The 33 in the net rankings takes into consideration everything that's taken place this year. It's not predictive of the future. It doesn't more heavily weigh what's taken place over the last 7 to 9 games. I do. And it does not take into account injuries that have occurred over the course of the season and how they will affect that team going forward. Right now, to me, there is no bubble team in the Big Ten that is in more trouble than Nebraska. They're in more trouble than Indiana. They're in more trouble than Ohio State. They're in more trouble than Minnesota. All teams that they are ahead of in the net rankings, that doesn't mean that they are anywhere near safe. I think, in my opinion, if the field were selected today, Nebraska would be one of the last four in or first four out, and that is not a position you want to be in. It's not a position this team should be in as we go into the second week of February.
Rick, the fact that they are still 33rd in net rankings, shocking. I know the body of work is taken into consideration, as is margin of victory, but the way they've reeled, and listen, this isn't excuse making for Nebraska. Rutgers is playing better. Iowa's been playing good ball. Illinois's gotten hot. Indiana's decided to care. Everybody got off the mat because they beat Nebraska, right? I mean, it's kind of in the springboard for a lot of programs. But Nebraska can't get out of their own way. They can't shake themselves mentally, and they can't quit feeling sorry for themselves. They just got to go out and play. I love the fact that Borchardt's, you know, giving it his all. I know Isaac's injury is really, really bad. But the point is you're not getting good play from Glenn Watson and James Palmer Jr., and that's a Tim Miles thing. He's got to have his two senior guards do their job. Does it happen tonight? Do they find a way, or is Maryland going to be like a long list of other teams that were reeling, in their case, on the road? Are they going to find a happy place away from home?
You know, I got to tell you, Chris, I'm interested to see the first 5 minutes to see the body language. And I bring that up because if you watched Illinois-Michigan State last night, the body language of those Illinois players, a team that has no chance to get to the tournament this year, a team that is considered to be one of the teams in the Big Ten that you should be, even if you go to their place. Listen, that team looked every bit like a team that believed it could beat Michigan State. And that is the reason that they were able to win that basketball game. They believed that they could. I've watched Nebraska, especially since Isaac Copeland has gone down. And I know that you have as well. I don't like the body language of this team right now. I don't like the fact that James Palmer Jr. seems content to take basically any shot he wants. And then I don't love the reaction that I see from the players who are responding to his shot selection. Yeah, Glenn Watson's a great point. If you need a guy to step up and to kind of rally the troops to get everybody together, isn't he the guy? But we're not seeing that either. So there's a lot of things that concern me as far as their strategy, as far as their execution. But right now, nothing concerns me more than their mindset And I think against Maryland, we need to see body language in the first 5 minutes, first 8 minutes. You are back at home. You are at a place, regardless of how much you struggle, that you know the fans will support you if you give them reason, if you give them something to support. That'll be the biggest telltale sign for me, and I'll know in the first 5-7 minutes of the game.
I think you're right. Rick Pizzo's with us. Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BT and Rick Pizzo. Rick, what's happened to Michigan State?
Well, I think they mentally broke down a little bit with the announcement and the realization that Joshua Langford was not coming back at any point this year. I also think it was a culmination of the schedule that they played in the first half of the season and the non-conference. I mean, you look back at Michigan State's schedule, I think at this point they still have more quad one wins than any other team in the country. And I understand they've now lost three games in a row. Purdue is a loss that anybody could take right now, the way that the Boilermakers are playing. Now, the Illinois loss and the Indiana loss at home concern me a little, but Michigan State was struggling from the free throw line for a large part of the conference season, and they still have some turnover issues to take care of. I still think that this team absolutely has the ability to be a Final Four team. I think they'll be better once they get out of the league, but I'll be honest with you, Chris. I think this 20-game schedule is going to hurt a lot of teams in mid-February, in late February. Teams have played tougher non-conference. I talked with Richard Pitino from Minnesota about that, and he said that in hindsight, now feeling the 20 games, if he had it to do all over again, he would have played an easier non-conference schedule because you're getting those extra two quality games anyway. You don't need them in the non-con. I think that's part of what's happening to Michigan State right now.
Rick, tell me about Indiana. Are they going to put a run together, or was that just a nice moment in overtime Saturday?
I want to say they're going to put a run together, but that being said, Romeo Langford needs to be smarter about the shots that he takes. Indiana still has to play better defense. And, Chris, go ahead and look at the Hoosiers' February schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everybody's schedule in the Big Ten is hard. Indiana's February schedule is a murderer's row. If the Hoosiers are able to go 500 the rest of the way, I mean, feather in their cap. It's that hard. And is 500 the rest of the way based on the struggles that they had in that seven-game losing streak? Is it good enough? They probably have to do some work here in Chicago at the Big Ten tournament. They have the talent. There's no question about it to make a run. I just don't know that that schedule is going to allow them to do that.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, can catch him on the Big Ten Network throughout the week. Pre, post, and halftime coverage. Always great to get a little buffet time. This time on a Wednesday at BT and Rick Pizzo. Rick, appreciate your patience with us to start out, and thanks for your great insight as always, man. We'll get caught up next week if it can work. Thanks so much, man.
My pleasure, man. You're the best. Ready to talk to you then.
See you, bud. There he is, Rick Pizzo with us on Hail Varsity Radio. We're just ahead of Nebraska, Maryland. We're inside the Hail Varsity offices. We're on the balcony. It's where we're at here. As yet, Nebraska fans bundled up, hoods are up, as they are trudging towards Pinnacle Bank Arena, ready for Nebraska and Maryland. We'll hear from Scott Frost coming up, get his take a ways from the press conference. That is going to be good. Erin Sorensen will put a bow on some of our recruiting thoughts, and excited to hear from her. She's on the way shortly, as Will Bauer doing a great job back in studio. A quick timeout, and we'll continue on this second hour. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here, Hail Varsity Radio continues, signing day 2019, part two. Big thanks to Rick Pizzo. And we welcome in Erin Sorensen with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Amazing work from Erin, not only with the magazine and website, but social media. She was there helping anchor coverage of the press conference today. Erin, how are you? You get home all right?
I did. I'm kind of having a little bit of a hard time hearing you, but it wasn't as bad as I thought with the weather, but man, it's looking like a snowy night.
It is better now or not with the audio?
Yeah, I can hear you. Woo.
No, all right. That's good and bad, just depending on the poll question. okay, so your takeaway. We've asked everybody your five guys here. Who are the five in this class that you're most excited about? We've talked to Greg and Jacob and, of course, Derek. Who are the five you're really intrigued by when you look at the final bow put on this 2019 class?
Well, it's super funny. I was kind of watching some of the comments roll in on our Facebook Live that we did from the first hour of the show, and apparently a lot of people were upset that Brant Banks did not get mentioned. So I will conclude him. I would say Brant Banks is somebody that I'm very excited about. Having had a chance to talk to his family a little bit, he seems like a gem, diamond in the rough. He just seems like a really, really solid get for Nebraska. Obviously, I'm really excited for Wandale Robinson. I think that's sort of the gimme for everyone. Nick Henrich as well. Noah Pola-Gates. Honestly, the thing, though, is like, as I'm sitting here like now thinking who my fifth choice would be, it's almost difficult to narrow because I think you could make a case for someone like Garrett Nelson to get excited about. So I feel like he's high on my list. But then I start to question, like, well, what about someone like Chris Hickman? What about, you know, Garrett Snodgrass? But even Jamie Nance. So I don't think there's really an incorrect five here. But, like, for right now, I'll say I'm definitely with everyone in Husker Nation that's excited about seeing Wandale Robinson get going in this offense. But I like what they can do with Nick Henrich. I like Noah Pola-Gates. Like I said, I'll pick Brant Banks for all the people who are listening on Facebook. And then, I don't know, I'm pretty excited about Garrett Nelson as well. But, man, there's so many you could pick from.
Aaron Sorensen's with us at Aaron Sorensen on Twitter's where you follow her, HailVarsity.com and magazine. So let's go back to Brant Banks real quick. He's a Texas kid. That's, a coach Greg special, right? I mean, he's a Houston guy, and this is a Houston kid out of Westbury Christian. What struck you about Banks and his family?
It just they have just such an easy going. Just kind of, they're just instantly people as you start to talk to them that they put you at ease. And I was looking for a tweet as I was saying this. Actually, Kevin Ashmos, who's a recruiting assistant for Nebraska, tweeted about Brant Banks yesterday, saying a great kid from a great family, happy to have this big man on campus. And that's what I think is he's easygoing. His family just instantly makes you feel like you're almost like in a way like a part of the family. They're just such a nice group. And so you think of what that, when Frost talks about how he's looking for a very specific type of player, he mentioned Spencer Long, obviously looking at the walk-on aspect with Spencer, but like just the type of player that they're really looking for is somebody who's not only great on the field, but that is great off the field, is a great teammate, a great friend, cares about those around him. And that's the feeling you get with someone like Brant Banks, is that he's not just going to be great on the field. He's going to be somebody that we're going to be excited to see get better. You know, I think he's going to be a fan favorite down the road.
Aaron Sorensen's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Aaron, let's talk quarterback. And everyone's jacked about Adrian Martinez, rightfully so. But Coach Frost, a couple of times today in the press conference, spent time on Luke McCaffrey, arguably the first family of football. You know the McCaffreys well. What is your takeaway here on, you know, a guy that is coming in, despite having Adrian, right? You're going to get a really talented kid in McCaffrey. He signed back in December when we had him on, but it's all official now. I mean, the class is done. What sticks out about McCaffrey, his family, and more so the mindset? You're getting a really good quarterback despite already having an incredible quarterback here. That's the issue in college football today, is quarterback transfers and kids not wanting mm-hmm. to sit behind guys that are perceived to be multiple-year starters.
Yeah, I think the thing that I really liked about Luke McCaffrey right off the bat is the fact that, like you said, he comes from the first family of football, and he really is somebody who could have fallen, like he could have fell back on all the things that his family has accomplished, but he really wants to forge his own path. He really wants to work hard for himself to, you know, and I think that's a testament to his family, but it's also a testament to him. And, you know, I think when he first started getting pursued by Nebraska, people thought, well, there's no way he'd be coming here to be a quarterback, especially after, you know, how great Adrian Martinez is. But I think the great thing about Luke is he sees an opportunity down the road, potentially depending on how many years Adrian is at Nebraska. But I think he sees it as a chance to compete and get better. He likes Verduzco. He wants to learn from Verduzco. So I think the thing that always really just stood out to me about Luke McCaffrey is his willingness to work and not to rest on any of his laurels. The McCaffrey name is so important in football, but for Luke, he's focused on what Luke means. He's not focused on what McCaffrey means. And I mean, that's the thing that's so cool about him is his willingness to forge that path. And so I think that's what makes him great. And what might make him unique in this whole, like you said, the quarterback market with how quickly people transfer. I don't know his future. We don't know what ultimately will happen. But it seems like whatever ends up happening, he wants to be great. And hopefully that is great at Nebraska for quite a few years.
Aaron, let's spend a few minutes on some of the in-state talent. We mentioned the Burke kids, Henrich and Hickman, for sure. You have a slew of walk-ons that are really, really talented. You have Ethan Piper out of Norfolk. You've got Garrett Snodgrass, Garrett Nelson, both Nebraska kids. When you kind of take away Coach Frost and his press conference today, there's just something different about him. And he loves all the kids he has in, but he loves talking about the in-state kids because he was one. Spend a minute on that, if you could, just the ability for Frost to reconnect and the Barrett Roods of the world and his staff to reconnect back to the state of Nebraska moving forward, not just with really talented in-state kids, but just this army of walk-ons he's got coming in.
Yeah, I think the one thing that we always sort of knew is Nebraska can't just have a team of Nebraska kids. They're going to have to recruit out of the state. They're going to have to find talent elsewhere. But I think when we hear those things like, it just means more to Nebraska kids, it's not because it doesn't mean a lot to kids outside of Nebraska, because you've had a number of out-of-state, you know, athletes come through Nebraska's football program and other teams, whether that's volleyball, baseball, does not matter, that fall in love with the program, the school, and make Nebraska as much a part of it for themselves as if they had grown up here. But there is an advantage of having someone like Garrett Nelson, who has such a big personality, has such a love for the state, grew up wanting to play for Nebraska. Same thing with someone like Snodgrass. You think of the Burke kids who were getting attention from all over the country, but they wanted to stay here. That just helps your program. That helps the kids that aren't from Nebraska see how special and important Nebraska is. So I think there's a reason that Frost gets so excited, because he knows what it means to those in-state kids, and he's excited for those in-state kids to then spread that message to those that grew up elsewhere. But ultimately, the goal is to make them all Nebraskans by the end of the day. And so I think that's where it starts, is it starts with those in-state kids. And that's why Frost and Rude and the in-state coaches get really excited about it, is the potential of sharing the love they have for their state beyond the borders, and they do so by starting at home.
Aaron Sorensen's with us. Some thoughts on signing day 2019 part two, and can find Aaron on Twitter at Aaron Sorensen. Aaron, what's before we let you go, what's coming up here on HailVarsity.com? What's happening in the magazine? What's going on with Hail Varsity in the social media world? What can folks be expecting?
Yeah, we've got a lot of really exciting stuff. Probably first and foremost, the next issue is going to be coming out soon. We obviously really focused on the early enrollees for the last one, but plenty more recruiting for those that are interested. But there's going to be a lot to talk about with baseball, obviously Zach Taylor. Spring football is only 5 weeks away. So there's going to be a lot of cool stuff, and I can't give away too much, but we've got some cool stuff in the works for videos. I'm really excited not only for the spring, but already for next fall. And we just finished the season, but there's a lot of reason to want to subscribe to the magazine, get linked up with us online, because we're going to have some really cool stuff, especially getting ready for spring football.
Can you give me a basketball prediction tonight?
My only basketball prediction is what Jacob told me, that it's going to be low scoring. He was predicting in the 60 to 70 point range, and that apparently Nebraska is favored to win right now by about 2.5 points. So my prediction is apparently not even Vegas knows what they're doing outside of taking people's money. So I'm hoping Nebraska comes out and surprises people tonight, but it's a little bit hard to like know exactly what to do. So I'm just going to go with what Jacob said and say it's going to be low scoring, and I don't want to put anything else on it. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it.
Aaron Sorensen. Aaron, you're awesome. Thanks for jumping on with us today.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
All right. There she is, Aaron Sorensen, HailVarsity.com and magazine and social media. You're not jinxing anything. They've lost five straight. The fact that Vegas has Nebraska favored by three is, well, Nebraska and Maryland just play two-point ball games. That's just what they do. And God bless all the Nebraska fans trudging through the snow, the wind chill, the sub-zero temperatures to find their way into PBA. We'll hear from Scott Frost next segment. Thoughts from the head man about the press conference today, about his signing class, about what Nebraska was able to do. You have five kids from Nebraska, four from Georgia, three from Arizona, two from Colorado, two from Oklahoma, two from Texas, one from Bama, one from Iowa, one from Kentucky, one from Louisiana, one from Minnesota. Take that, row your boat. One from Jersey, one from South Carolina, one from Tennessee, and one from Washington. We'll step away. We'll have thoughts from Scott Frost. That is next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Signing day 2019, part two. Greg Smith still rocking it here in the Hail Varsity offices as Nebraska fans find their way to Pinnacle Bank Arena, Nebraska, Maryland. Tip off at 6. I'm going to bring on our dear friend Will Bauer, producing engineer. Will, have you started smoking yet?
I have not. That's coming up later tonight.
Okay. That's fine, dude. I'll just leave that one alone. But I know I'm on location and things have been a bit tense. You're fine. But just start the tequila after the show, brother. You're doing good. So here's Scott Frost, cut one. As if you just got bits and pieces of the Frost press conference, we'll get into some of that right now. And Coach Frost was able to spend a few minutes here on the difference a year makes, right? Year two compared to year one.
We wanted to kind of, in January recruiting cycle, we wanted to look around, take a look, see if we thought anybody fit us, and if they did, take our best swing at them. This year was different than last year. Last year there was quite a few really good players available after the first signing day. This year there weren't near as many, and the guys that were got recruited by everybody. I've been doing this long enough to know that sometimes when you want to just take another guy or two to fill a spot, those don't turn out as good as often as guys that you've recruited and know well. So we did our best to get to know some guys and take some looks at some guys that we thought might still be able to help at certain positions, but we weren't going to reach and take guys, just take them.
Recruiting's tough enough. Evaluation's tough enough. Development is tough enough. If you're unsure, don't waste it. Nebraska has not had a number of kids the last several years perform up to their ranking. Okay, it's just how it's been. How many four-star guys have been four-star dudes on the field? Few, right? I mean, Adrian's been awesome as a freshman, but a lot of career left. You have that class with Searles and Qualley and Spencer Long. Tremendous. You have Amir, right? But I'm just talking, when it comes to four-star guys, how many four-star guys have knocked it out of the park? Levante? Really? I mean, Sue? That's kind of your short list on four-star dudes. They're not reaching. They're not burning a scholarship. They're just standing pat, and that's okay. They got who they wanted to get. They got the fits. They got the personalities. They got the guys that love football. More from Scott Frost. And again, a year ago, you're between two gigs. You finally settle. And then you got to rush into Nebraska and hurry up and sign, right? Well, here is Coach Frost and his thoughts on getting caught up with this class. They've been able to turn their attention, and they're way ahead of the game here for 2020 and beyond.
Yeah, just being honest, when you come in as a new coach, you're 2 years behind because you're just starting to come in here. We were just starting to look at 2019 guys last year that we could get to Nebraska in December. Work a lot farther down the road now, looking at 2020s already in January, some 2021s. And we're probably still a half a cycle behind, but that's going to be easy to catch the rest of the way up in May. Haven't already looked at some young kids. Our May recruiting can be a little more specific with some of the targets we've already found, and we'll probably be able to get even farther ahead with the 21 class.
That is Scott Frost. Great to be with you, Hale Varsity Radio. Here in the Hale Varsity office in the rail yard, just ahead of Nebraska, Maryland, as the Big Red and the Terps set to do battle at 6. More from Scott Frost, his signing day press conference 2019. And the one thing is, how quickly can things get flipped around? That was the question. And in typical Scott Frost fashion, he's big picture. You can't get things turned around in just 1 year.
There's nothing about what we're trying to do that can get fixed at the drop of a hat. And, you know, coming in, there was a couple position groups that were desperately low with scholarship players and players in general. Some things we had to fix to get them the way we wanted them. We're getting a heck of a lot closer, but, you know, going into this recruiting cycle, I want to take the best players I could and try to help our team as much as we could. And knowing that we weren't going to be able to fill all the holes and get all the pieces that we would want in 1 year.
Scott Frost, earlier with his press conference, the one guy that signed today, another four-star wide receiver, another Oklahoma kid, this is Hollywood Houston. Coach Frost's thoughts on Hollywood.
First thing is we really liked him as a person, really enjoyed his family. Demarion's a kid that can really run. Our offense, as long as I've been in it, has been really successful and dangerous, and we have a bunch of people that are weapons and can do a lot with the ball in their hands. Demarion's got legitimate speed, was a good player on both sides of the ball and returning kicks down in Oklahoma, and receiver was one of the areas where we were way below the number of players that we need or would like to have when we walked into the door a year ago. So that was one of our priorities, to get some guys that we can start bringing along and developing. And we felt like we could use one more, and we were glad he was available.
Let's skip ahead here and get Frost's thoughts here on some of the playmakers. What's his comfort level here with the kids he has? And you look at Nebraska and the different spots they got. Three backs, three receivers, two athletes, one quarterback, and a tight end. That's a good good haul, it sounds like.
Yeah, losing Stanley is going to be tough to replace. He was a great player around here for a long time. Gosh, I enjoyed being around him for a year. Hopefully some of these young kids that we brought in can help fill the gap. And there's some guys on campus that I'm expecting to make huge jumps this year. A lot of times a first year in a system, some kids don't quite flourish and they make a huge jump in year two. But there's a bunch of guys already on the roster, from McQuitty to Woody, to Mike, to Andre Hunt, even some walk-ons like Lever and Folkers, a bunch of guys that I think could take a step forward and help us next year. So there's a bunch of candidates to get us with three or four good wide receivers on the field, and I feel a lot better about that than I did a year ago.
So lots of playmakers. Guys just need to step up, and it does take a year, and you go JUCO, and you want that JUCO to contribute right away, and Woodyard's a guy that has the size and looks like he could be a playmaker. What's he do? What's McQuitty do? That poor dude's been injured. Does McQuitty take a step forward and become a playmaker? You're not ever, ever, ever going to replace a Stanley Morgan. But the point is you've got some talent here. You've got Hunt, a kid that was just, I think, a USC kid that really was looked at. And then, of course, Mike Williams. That dude really got better as a blocker in the slot on the bubble screen game. So that's impressive. Not only what he can do catching the ball, but also blocking for his mates. We'll wind down this signing day extravaganza. One kid signing. That's Hollywood Houston, but a good get again from Oklahoma for Nebraska. I love the walk-on class. I love the in-state kids. I like the Lincoln kids. When you look at McCormick and Kleinschmidt and Jorgensen and Jablonski, for sure. And you got Detlefson, who can just boom the hell out of the football. Good one, a talented kid from Lincoln High, of course. And Braden Sellin of Lincoln East. You got a good group from Lincoln, from Omaha, from Central Western, and, of course, Eastern Nebraska. We'll step away and more thoughts from Scott Frost when we wind it down next on Hail Varsity.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery here in the Hail Varsity offices, winding down signing day part two. Kent emails in Chris at HailVarsity.com. Kent's a big time Nebraska basketball fan. Kent is reminding me about Glenn Watson. In Glenn's last five games, 10 points, 31% shooting, 3.4 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 2.2 turnovers. And he's averaging 32 to 33 minutes. What the bleep is going on? Well, this team's doubting themselves, Kent. That is obvious. Do they find a way to just play? I hope so, because they can get one tonight. Illinois is past, and maybe they get one tonight, and then they go play and play well against Purdue. There still is time, but you're down to nine games, and you better put an 8-1 spot up if you want to make the tournament. Probably plus one in Chicago, if we're being real honest. And maybe you've punted on the tournament talk. I get it, too. Nebraska fans are ticked off and heartbroken right now, basketball-wise. So more Scott Frost thoughts from the press conference. And Noah Pola-Gates, let's hear what Coach has to say about Noah. What makes him so special? As you look at Pola-Gates here, it was a big one for Nebraska, another win against Alabama.
We fought hard for a lot of our commits. A lot of guys put a lot of time in for these guys, and I tip my cap to the coaching staff, Coach Fish, Coach Shenander, Coach Held, Coach Verduzco, Coach Dawson were all involved in recruiting him. I think he felt at home here. I think he felt like this was a good opportunity. He's a dynamic playmaker. He's aggressive. You know, you saw him hit Wandale in the All-Star game, and you could kind of see what both kids are made of from that play and that game in general. Love that we're adding more speed. I like the attitudes we're adding. I like the toughness we're adding, and Noah's certainly a part of that. He signed in December. We kept it under our head as best as we could to allow him to announce it at the Polynesian Games the way he wanted to. But he's a big addition for us.
That he is. And we were talking about your five that flourish. You know, I look at Noah Pola-Gates as a guy that I think's going to be impressive. I know he's not thought of right now just because he's behind Adrian, but I think Luke McCaffrey's a big-timer. He's my second. I think Garrett Nelson's number three for me because he's going to bring that attitude. Nebraska needs some of that nasty on the offensive line. Bryce Benhart is going to be that guy. He's number three. Give me Ty Robinson. That's four. And I'm going to just take a wild guess here and say Wandale Robinson's my fifth. Huh? That works out. More here. Okay, Will Bauer says shut up. Show's over. Okay. Hey, the podcast will be up, HailVarsity.com or iTunes. Big thanks to Aaron Sorensen and Derek Peterson. Of course, Jacob Padilla, Greg Smith, Rick Pizzo, Will Bauer, your money. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity.